Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, is Julio Urias a goner after 2023? I'll talk about one report that says he just might be. We'll also talk about one expert predicting that Miguel Vargas has a decent shot at the National League Rookie of the Year Award. And we'll talk about Dave Roberts' first speech to the entire Dodgers team prior to their first full squad workout. That's what's on tap. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Dodger fans, this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time with us, I am Jeff Snyder. My normal co-host is Vince Semperia, although it's just me today. Vince held down the fort the last couple days for me while I was out of town for my son's baseball tournament. I appreciate that. So I am returning the favor today. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. With that, let's get started here. Like I said at the beginning, it's just going to be me, and I do appreciate Vince holding things down. It was quite the weekend for me. I have my son's baseball tournament, which is always fun. Five or six games in 3 days. Should have been seven. Ended up only being five because, unfortunately, they didn't do as well on Monday as we had hoped. But the weekend started with my car breaking down in St. George, 300 miles from home. And so I dealt with that while watching my son play baseball weekend. So it was stressful and exhausting. And so even more so than usual, I appreciated Vince handling the podcast for me because I had family and automobile issues to deal with. But now I'm back and nothing but Dodger stuff to talk about. Julio Urias, he is going into the final year of his contract, of his, you know, before he hits free agency, his final year of arbitration. And his agent is Scott Boras. So it's kind of an uphill climb for the Dodgers anyway. The Dodgers do sign Boras clients sometime. They signed JD Martinez just this winter. It's been a long, long time, though, since they've signed a Boras client to a long-term contract, which is what Julio is going to be looking for. And I've said it before, the agent works for the player. If Julio wants to come back to the Dodgers, he'll tell Scott Boras, work out a deal with the Dodgers, and Scott Boras will say, yes, sir, boss. You know, Boras might be richer than Julio, but Julio is the boss in this situation. And so wherever Julio wants to play is where he'll play. And that's true of every player. It's not that Scott Boras doesn't let players sign with the Dodgers. I think more to the point, it's the fact that players who choose Scott Boras as their agent are not generally the kind of players who the Dodgers are likely to sign, because those guys are going to be looking for huge monster contracts in free agency. And the Dodgers often don't do those kind of deals in free agency. And the reason for that is because by the time guys hit free agency, they are usually past their prime, because that's the nature of the system that Major League Baseball and the Players Union have agreed on. Players have to play for 6 years in the big leagues before they hit free agency. So if you debut at 22 or 23, you're in your late 20s by the time you hit free agency. And so any long-term deal is going to take you well into your 30s. Now, Julio is a little different because Julio was born August 12, 1996, which means he is currently 26 years old. He'll be 27 in August. This is his age 26 season coming up. And so he could sign an eight-year deal after this season that would only take him through his age 34 season. He's in a different boat than a lot of free agents are, which, you know, on one hand could mean the Dodgers might be more likely to sign him because they could sign him to a long-term deal without definitely taking him past his, you know, into years where he's not going to be good anymore. It's still risky with any pitcher. But it does make it more likely on that hand, but it also makes it less likely because Julio's young age is one of his big selling points. And so he's not going to be looking for a 6 or 7 year contract. He's probably going to be looking for one of those 9 or 10 year contracts, which then puts you back in the same boat of, well, now we're into his late 30s. And is that a deal the Dodgers want to do? Obviously we've talked in the past about what it could look like if they worked out an extension with Julio, if Julio were to take a hometown discount or something like that, or even high dollar, shorter term, which the Dodgers have been fans of those type of contracts, or at least trying to get those kinds of contracts. But there was an article from Bob Nightingale from USA Today, and obviously it's Bob Nightingale. You take everything with a grain of salt. But he had this little tidbit about Julio. He said, friends close to Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Julio Urías, frustrated by the pitch limits that the organization has set throughout his career, are convinced that he'll depart as a free agent after the season. This is an anonymous source. I told you guys last week or a week or two ago when we were talking about the sign stealing stuff, how I feel about anonymous sources. I understand their purpose, and I understand why, in this case, a friend of Julio might not want to go on the record because Scott Boras might have Julio's friend like incarcerated if he, that's not a friend's job to be talking to the media about how Julio's feeling about things. And so I understand why that friend wants to stay anonymous, or friends, plural. I think it said friends, right? Yeah, friends. Now, that plurality kind of brings up another question. Does Bob Nightingale really know multiple of Julio Urías's friends? And that's where the anonymity comes into question because, well, without a name, it's hard to really guess how close these people are to Julio. Is it, his cousin and his brother? Or is it, his dad's neighbor? And, there could be any level of familiarity that could constitute friends for purposes of this report. And without knowing who they are, it's hard to know how privy they might actually be to the inner thoughts of Julio's head regarding his free agency. Another interesting thing about this is the wording. Friends close to Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Julio Urías, comma, frustrated by the pitch limits that the organization has set throughout his career, comma, are convinced that he'll depart as a free agent after the season. I have an English degree. Maybe these things, I'm a fan of punctuation. I told you I'm writing a book about retired numbers. I'm also writing a book about grammar and punctuation and writing. So commas stand out to me. And I can't tell if this is cleverly worded by Nightingale, maybe even to give off one impression that maybe isn't technically what he's saying, or if it's poorly worded by Nightingale. I think Nightingale's probably a decent writer. But what this actually says, grammatically, technically speaking, it says that the friends of Julio are frustrated by the pitch limits that the organization has set throughout his career. It does not say that Julio is frustrated by the pitch limits. Julio might be. There's no reason to think he's not, actually. The pitch limits, innings limits, you can make a case that might have cost him the Cy Young Award last year. You could also make a case that if he had pitched more innings, he wouldn't have pitched as well, and he wouldn't have won the Cy Young Award anyway. But Julio could be frustrated, but what this actually says is that Julio's friends are frustrated by the pitch limits. And that's why those friends think that Julio will leave in free agency. It's a difference. And, it's all speculation at this point, and we will probably never know the answer to which friends did Bob Nightingale talk to or pretend to talk to, and what did they actually say, and how privy actually were they to his thinking. But I'm not convinced that we know any more about Julio's intentions right now than we did before Bob Nightingale wrote this article, I guess is what I'm getting at. And maybe that's wishful thinking on my part. I'd like to have Julio back. I understand and agree with the Dodgers' stance of generally not going super long-term with guys, especially pitchers. So I don't know that I want Julio back on a 9-year contract. I would love to have Julio back on a 6-year deal. And maybe that's a possibility. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But we don't really know much more about that than we did before Bob Nightingale's article is my main point. So I'm going to come back in a minute, and I'm going to talk about Miguel Vargas and his chances at the National Rookie of the Year, according to Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline. So thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Last weekend was the NBA dunk contest, three-point contest. And if you remember on this show last week, I told you to bet on Damian Lillard to win the three-point contest. Guess what? You'd be a little bit richer today if you had listened to me and did it. Or maybe you did listen to me and you did bet on Damian Lillard and you are a little bit richer today, in which case, you're welcome. FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Now, when you're done here for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And one of those prospects that Lindsey Crosby might be talking about on Locked On MLB Prospects is Miguel Vargas of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Vargas debuted with the Dodgers late last season and didn't do super well in the big leagues. He did play really well in the minor leagues, though, and was the AAA Player of the Year, best prospect in AAA. You know, a lot of different accolades and honors from different outlets. He's ranked in top 30 among MLB prospects by all the outlets. Miguel Vargas is the real deal, and I'm going to start by addressing. I don't often talk about specific comments that we get in the YouTube section, although I do appreciate the comments, and I've often encouraged you as you're watching on YouTube, please share your thoughts in the comments, and I will reiterate that now. I do read every comment, and I don't respond to as many as I wish I could. I don't have time to. Unfortunately, I find myself more often responding to the ones I disagree with, either to correct people or to argue with people, which my wife says I shouldn't do on the internet. And I hope if you're one of the people I've argued with, I appreciate that you're here watching this episode again today and that I didn't hurt your feelings. Arguing about baseball is one of the fun things. A few people and one person repeatedly have basically questioned why people are so high on Miguel Vargas. And I think those people are probably just basing it on his short time in the big leagues last year. Because, yeah, he didn't look very good in the big leagues last year. And that's not what we're basing it on. What we're basing it on, and I said this as much in a reply to one of those comments, we're basing it on the fact that every prospect evaluator who's watched Miguel Vargas play agrees that he has the tools that almost always translate to big league success. It's not as easy as, he hit well in AAA, so he's going to hit well in the major leagues. We've seen way too many examples of that not being the case to really buy into that, including, we had DJ Peters and my brain has blocked out Zach Rex and Luke Rayleigh. That's the other one I was trying to think of. We had a handful of those guys all in one year, like showing, oh, minor league success means nothing. You've seen it with the Angels. I was just writing about Joe Adell the other day. Joe Adell has torn it up in AAA every year and has just not hit in the big leagues yet. He might still, but he hasn't yet. Edwin Rios, the Dodgers ended up non-tendering him, letting him go because he wasn't translating that minor league success enough into major league success. And with Rios, it was also because he didn't have a position. And so his bat would have had to really carry things, and it wasn't. But we've seen too many examples of guys being very good minor league hitters and then not panning out in the big leagues to just base it on the minor league stat line. And what I need to emphasize to you Vargas doubters, and I'm not saying Vargas is a sure thing. I'm saying Vargas is somebody we're really confident in because it's not just the stat line. It's the tools. It's the hit tool that, everything about his hitting, the tools that people look at, are tools that translate to the big leagues because you know, when I had Keith Law on a week or two ago talking about the Dodgers' top prospects, he was talking about Diego Cartaya, but he talked about the ability to hit velocity is something that they look for, because in the minor leagues, you don't often face that high velocity that you're going to face in the big leagues. And so you can hit, you can feast on 92 mile an hour fastballs in the minors. Then you get to the big leagues where they're throwing 95, 96, and you're overwhelmed. And we've seen that a lot. And Keith Law, talking about Diego Cartaya, said one of the boxes he's already checked is he has hit velocity and hit it consistently. And so that's a tool that they know Diego Cartaya has. He can hit velocity. That's a big deal. Miguel Vargas is in the same boat. He can hit velocity. He puts the bat on the ball. He can drive the ball to all fields. He's not pull heavy. You know, he has these tools. And I'm not a prospect expert to tell you all these tools. What I can tell you is that every prospect expert who's watched him agrees that he has the tools. That's why we're high on Vargas for the big leagues. And that's why when Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo of MLB Pipeline were putting together their top five rookie of the year candidates in each league over at MLB.com, Jim Callis did the National League side, and he has Miguel Vargas at number three. He says, and this is, I think this is transcribed from a podcast, so it has more of a conversational feel than a written on a website kind of feel. That's why it will sound the way it does. But Callis says, I think he's one of the best pure hitters in baseball. I feel like he's a little bit underrated. He's never hit less than 308 in a minor league season, and yet I don't feel like he gets talked about a lot, being among the very best hitters in all the minor leagues. He's just got elite bat-to-ball skills. He's one of those guys who grew up around the game. His father, Lázaro Vargas, was the DH for Cuba's 1992 and 1996 Olympic champions. Miguel is growing into power. He's a little better speed-wise and defensively than he was when he entered pro ball, and I think he's such a gifted hitter that he's going to get a lot of at-bats and do well with them. One minor correction, Callis was a little bit wrong. He said he's never hit less than 308 in a minor league season. He actually batted 304 last year. Not a substantial difference. Doesn't change the meaning. So he's never hit less than 304 in a minor league season. Miguel Vargas has hit at every level. And at every level he's played at, he has been way younger than his competition. You know, in Great Lakes, in Ogden in 2018, 2.6 years younger. He was 18 years old, 2.6 years younger than average in rookie league, younger than the average age in rookie ball. And he batted 394 with a 1042 OPS. The next year, Ranch Cucamonga, 3.5 years younger than average, batted 284 for half of the season, moved up to Great Lakes. That was when Great Lakes was below Ranch Cucamonga. He was 2.3 years younger than the average in Great Lakes. He batted 399 or 325 with an 864 OPS. In 2021, started with Great Lakes, 1.5 years younger, 314, 898 OPS. Moved up to Tulsa, 3.1 years younger, 321, 909 OPS. Last year, Oklahoma City, 4.6 years younger than average, 304, 915 OPS. Everywhere he's gone, he's been younger than average, and he has hit like a stud. And it's those tools. I'm not scouting the stat line. I'm not scouting anything. The scouts, the prospect experts, aren't scouting the stat line. They're scouting the tools. And like Callis says, he has elite bat-to-ball skills. He's growing into his power. He is going to be a very good hitter. Will he bat over 304 every year in the major leagues? Probably not. But he has the hitting tools to be a very good major league hitter immediately. He's gonna have a starting job. You know, the question is, can he hold it down defensively at second? And they're going to give him that chance. But he will have the starting job, which means he's going to be getting, you know, he's going to get at least 500 plate appearances this year. And we'll get to see, you know, there will be learning curves. There will be slumps. But overall, Miguel Vargas can hit, and I think he's going to show it in 2023. And so, you know, I don't think any of the YouTube commenters are rooting for Vargas to do poorly, but I wanted to take some time to explain why I and so many people are so confident that Vargas is going to be a really good hitter in the big leagues. So that's what that is. Jim Callis says third best rookie of the year candidate in the National League. Obviously, he has Corbin Carroll of the D-backs at number one. He's, you know, number one or two prospect, according to everybody. Apparently has all the tools. I think the only thing that would probably keep Corbin Carroll from winning the rookie of the year would be if he gets injured. But Miguel Vargas is going to have a pretty good year too, I think. So I'm going to come back in a minute, and I am going to talk about Dave Roberts' first speech to the Dodgers before their first opening or first full squad workout of spring training. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making us your first listen. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, we'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments. If you're listening on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you through social media or email or voicemail or text. I'll give you all that info at the end, like I do. And let's jump into our final segment, which is Dave Roberts. He had his first speech to the whole team in the clubhouse at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, before their first full squad workout. And, you know, we just saw clips. We didn't see the whole thing, but some of the clips. He says, first off, this is a new year. This group, like I said, is a hunger group, a focus group. I love this group. I love this team, and it's going to be fun to watch you guys come together. Let's go out there and be the Dodgers, play together, and get better each day. And each individual, myself included, has got to find a way to channel that focus and be able to sustain it, not only today, when this is the first day of workouts where everyone's excited to see everybody. It's great. Energy's good. But there's going to be a point in spring training where it gets monotonous. It's the same thing. It gets tiresome. It gets to be a grind. But we all have to individually, collectively default to still focusing on getting better that particular day. Find out how to love practice, enjoy it, love it, love the grind, and ask yourselves, are we in or are we out? Dave Roberts is a very good manager of people. He is a player or a manager that players love playing for. And fans, a lot of fans don't like Dave Roberts. And a lot of fans even project that dislike, saying players hate playing for Roberts because they don't trust him or whatever, whatever. You know, and I think some of that is what we're seeing in Nightingale's comments about Julio that I talked about in the first segment. You know, we think, well, if I was in that case, I'd be mad about the innings limit. So Julio must be too. You know, and I remember somebody saying that Yu Darvish was going to be mad that Dave Roberts pulled him out of a game because it cost him a chance at a win, and Yu Darvish is going into free agency, and so he needs that win. Well, no team anymore looks at win-loss record for a starting pitcher when they're figuring out how much to pay a guy. And look, Yu Darvish did just fine in free agency. You know, Dave Roberts is trying to win games, and a lot of fans don't like him, but as a manager of people, I believe he's unparalleled. I think he's the best in baseball. And this speech kind of shows, you know, he's passionate. He's obviously a very smart baseball guy. He's played in the big leagues. He's managed now for what, he's going into his eighth season. Is that right? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yeah. Eighth season. Crazy. He knows his stuff, and he knows how to talk to people, how to motivate people. And I liked one of the things he said where he threw in that, myself included, about finding a way to channel the focus and be able to sustain it. You know, they're one of the criticisms of the Dodgers last October was that they didn't have the intensity that the Padres had in that series. They, you know, I don't think intensity would have helped them win. I don't think they would have necessarily done better with runners in scoring position if they'd been more intense. I do, though, think that it probably came into play the fact that they, by the time the NLDS started, the Dodgers hadn't played a meaningful game in like 3 months. They'd had the division wrapped up for months. At the All-Star break, they're already up by like 9 or 10 games. And it was, they didn't play any meaningful games. And they didn't play literally any meaningful games for at least 3 or 4 weeks before the NLDS started. And so I think maybe there was some sort of a changing gears that didn't happen for them, that they, like, I think obviously intellectually they knew, okay, these games count now, but it's almost like the muscle memory of here's how you play hard in a game that matters. I don't know. It would be, the Dodgers did fine against the Padres, even down the stretch in the regular season, same team, same playing for, and you know, games that actually didn't matter. And they did fine, but for whatever reason, I think it didn't, you know, that they weren't able to switch gears again. And obviously, I think this year it's going to be a closer division, which will be good for the Dodgers, keep them engaged more. But I think what Roberts is saying, and it's easy for us to project our own feelings. Here's why I think Roberts is saying this, because here's why I would be saying this. So I don't want to do that. But I think, you know, by him including himself, you know, and saying it's a long season, we are hopefully doing this for the next 8.5 months. And we need to each individually and collectively, like he said, figure out a way to maintain that focus, that desire to get better each day. And I think the Dodgers are going to be okay with that. I think, you know, even losing Justin Turner, I think they have leadership coming in, and maybe even, you know, not that it's a good thing that Justin Turner left, but I think some new blood in leadership might be a beneficial thing. Guys coming from different situations, you know, it's going to be an interesting situation the Dodgers find themselves in, but they still have a really good team. And I think a lot of it will come down to that individual desire to be the best you can be each and every day, even when it gets boring and it's a grind and all those things. And so I thought that was a really interesting and pretty awesome thing that Dave Roberts chose to focus on in this speech. I liked what he had to say, and I don't know that these speeches really make that big of a difference, especially from a manager. I think from a teammate, maybe. We've all heard about in 2020, Mookie Betts giving a big impassioned speech early in spring training when he was the new guy on the team and kind of helping motivate the team. And obviously they went on to win the World Series. I don't know. It's a direct cause and effect there. So I don't know how much these manager speeches are important, but they're fun to hear. And it does kind of give you kind of an idea of what the focus is going to be for the Dodgers this year, because they have a lot of talented players. And yeah, if they can each find a way to focus every day on getting better individually, baseball is a team sport, but it's actually just a collection of individual performances. And so every hit that Jason Hayward gets helps the Dodgers. Every home run that Mookie Betts hits helps the Dodgers. So every, you know, strikeout that Julio has helps the Dodgers. If they can each focus on getting better every day, it could be a really good year for the Dodgers. That's what I'm hoping for anyway. I think that's going to do it for me today. I think I just said for me twice in a row. So for me, that's it. I want to thank you all again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Remember, host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on MLB Stars of Tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. If you're not watching and listening to us every weekday morning, we'd love if you would subscribe to Locked On Dodgers and add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. If you have friends and family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, please tell them about the show, because maybe they'll like it. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. You can also email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Or you can send us a text message or leave us a voicemail at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.